Thank you for tuning in to the Architect Introspect, the Architect's official radio broadcast on 91.9 KXRJ, the voice of Arkansas Tech. My name is Jonan Mitchell, and I am the co-editor-in-chief of the Architect. In the wake of the ever-changing scope of news media, the Architect has decided to expand into a multi-platform news organization to see news stories, opinions, and sports highlights written by Tech students. Visit our website online at architectnews.com. Disclaimer: the views expressed within an opinion piece are solely those of the writer and do not necessarily reflect upon the views of the paper as a whole.
Thank you for tuning in to 91.9 KXRJ for the fourth edition of the Architect Introspect. My name is AJ Schaff.
And I am Jonan Mitchell, standing in for the regular co-host, Bob Williams. As homecoming wraps up, we look forward to the end of the year. Tensions are building as we have crested the middle of the semester.
Absolutely true, Jonan. As finals approach, make sure to keep your head up and stay persistent.
Features about the 2021 homecoming king and queen. Cultural appropriation as Halloween draws near. Tech observing International Pronoun Day. A look into Tech's football team that faced off against the Reddies. And an editorial underlining the importance of school spirit are the stories we will be covering today.
So without further ado, we go to my co-host, Jonan Mitchell, and his telling of Tech's third annual observance of International Pronoun Day.
International Pronoun Day happens every third Wednesday of October. The observance was recognized in 2018, seeking to make educating, respecting, and sharing personal pronouns a commonplace in society. Dr. Quinn Brooks, the Assistant Dean for Diversity, Inclusion, and Contemporary Student Services, has made sure the event has taken place on the Tech campus since 2018. Their event, which took place on October 20th, involved making buttons with preferred pronouns. Brooks cites the importance of neo-pronouns in reference to self-identity.
Because sexuality and gender expression is a huge spectrum, and most people don't realize that, but because of that, everybody's not going to fit what society deems as the norm. And so we want to make sure.
Realizing identity is very important to many. Rue Racinos, a theater communications major from Alma, spoke of their understanding of their own identity.
Months before I came to college, I started questioning whether I really, really identified with what the idea of a woman was. I've always hated the societal standards that women have. In the summer of 2021, I started to go by she, they pronouns with a preference for she, but I didn't mind they. And the more that people just started using they, I realized the more and more I did not fit into the binary of a woman. And I knew for a fact that I didn't fit into the binary of a man. And I didn't feel like both. I felt just like a person. And so
Sinos continued, explaining how much of a positive impact it had upon their self-esteem.
It gets a little personal, but my whole life was just kind of always like, you're never gonna be as good of a woman as you could be because you're bigger. You're never gonna be like a good enough woman for a man. And that's always what it was, and I've always struggled with that. So finding out that I really didn't identify with the female or the male binary of gender, it just kind of helped me realize that those expectations that were put on me weren't fair. And it just kind of really helped me love and appreciate myself for who I was a little bit more.
Neo-pronouns are words created to serve as a pronoun without expressing gender. Some of these include they, they, or they. The reason for using neo-pronouns, according to Maya Galvin, a music major from Green Forest, is to express themselves and make for presence known.
I don't know, like, I want to challenge them and make their space uncomfortable so that they challenge themselves.
Galvin goes by fae, fair, and femme pronouns.
Binary stuff. you would just go on with your happy life, not knowing anything. But the fact that you now know about neopronouns and stuff like that, like, you are challenged by your comfort in society. So you're, like, more aware, therefore more exposed, therefore more caring and understanding and just, like, knowing. And I will challenge that every day until I die.
The observance is there to proudly display and make visible the variety of different pronouns, according to Brooks.
Disclose their pronouns. You don't necessarily have to, but a lot of people want to because they want to make sure that other people are addressing them the way they feel that they should be addressed.
Brooks explains that they are proud to work with Human Resources to mandate an inclusivity awareness training for new coming tech professors and other higher education professionals. This new mandate leaves out the already hired faculty and staff, however.
To make it short and simple, that would be a lot of pushback from faculty. So that's why we were told we couldn't mandate. We were told we could switch out the word mandate to encourage. So we can encourage, but we couldn't mandate. Yeah. So I don't like that, but that's what we were told. So yeah.
Professors not receiving this training is a detriment to some students. Racinos sheds light on the subject.
For me personally, and I know that this sounds like kind of stupid, but I feel like they won't take me seriously. And I feel like they'll just think it's like a stupid little kid thing, honestly, because most of them are older professors and I feel like they won't really respect it. And I guess that's not fair of me to put that assumption on them. But at the same time, it's just kind of like a defense mechanism because I truly do not know who could hurt me and who could potentially be on my side. So.
Despite efforts and inclusivity training, the stigma around pronouns that do not fit the gender binary is very real. Brooks believes that there should be disciplinary action for purposefully and maliciously misgendering someone.
I think sometimes we let what some people may call like little incidents, it's not little to the person that's being, you know, ridiculed or being diminished. So I think for me,
they continued, explaining that these could be teachable moments.
Maybe this is how they grew up. This is what they were taught. So some people don't even think they're wrong. But you come to college and you meet all of these different people. This is the best place to challenge your biases.
They believe the offending party should go through a disciplinary program. This would include a restorative justice conversation and an educational training program. Being more inclusive towards the LGBTQ+ community includes correcting people if you hear them misgender someone, according to Brooks. They consider it a teachable moment to be corrected. Brooks understands that people will make mistakes in regard to misgendering others and believes that people should welcome being corrected. Galvin and Racinos both agree that not assuming gender is paramount, along with sharing pronouns first and not being afraid to simply ask.
To this group of people, and the first person that I saw asked me what my pronouns are, and I literally started crying. If that gives you like a range of how I felt about it.
Brooks explains that the secret to avoiding hollow allyship is to realize that your values and truths do not apply to other people.
So I think for me, it would be to just recognize that it's okay to accommodate differences and not to necessarily shun differences. So.
The observance has been internationally recognized since 2018, and Dr. Brooks has prospects to continue the tradition for as long as they are here. Next up, we have Madison Vanderkoy to educate us upon cultural appropriation regarding Halloween costumes.
With Halloween and costume parties just a couple of days away, it is important to know what cultural appropriation is and how to avoid it. Everyone needs to understand what is acceptable and what is offensive when it comes to choosing a Halloween costume. Halloween for some people is a day to dress up as someone or something else and have fun. For others, Halloween is painful. Popular costumes are often belittling, insensitive, and downright offensive. Cultural appropriation, according to the Oxford Dictionary, is the unacknowledged or inappropriate adoption of the practices, customs, or aesthetics of one social or ethnic group by members of another community or society. Just because a costume wasn't meant to cause disrespect to one's culture doesn't mean that it doesn't. A costume that has become increasingly popular over the years is the gypsy costume. The term gypsy is a racial slur used against Romani people. Gypsy costumes objectify the women of their culture, labeling them as cool or sexy. Another costume that is often very offensive is the Native American costumes. Some people argue that Native American costumes are not intentionally offensive and they are meant to be lighthearted. It is good to appreciate Native American culture, but Halloween costumes do not do that. Like the gypsy costumes, Native American costumes are often depicted as sexy. These costumes do not accurately show Native American culture and are a slap in the face to what all the culture has worked for. How do you avoid being offensive this Halloween? Here are a couple of questions to ask yourself. Does this costume depict stereotypes, misinformation, or historical or cultural inaccuracies? Does this costume represent a culture that is not my own? Is this costume supposed to be funny, or is it making fun of real people, traits, or cultures? Would this costume be embarrassing or shameful if someone from the group it is portraying saw it or saw you wearing it? Keep others and their cultures in mind this spooky season. Happy Halloween.
Are you liking what you hear? You can find these stories and many more at architectnews.com, where we post sports, opinions, and news within the tech campus. Now, we have a story from Tara Espinoza, the co-editor of The Architect, who spotlighted the homecoming king and queen of ATU. Her story about the queen begins. Bria Alford, a junior from Conway, is Tech's 2021 homecoming queen. Majoring in vocal education with a minor in leadership, she serves as the chapter president of the Zeta Phi Beta sorority. She also holds membership in the African American Student Association, the ATU Choral Artists, and the ATU University Singers while she has been on campus. She is also a community assistant for Resident Life, working closely with the Living Learning Community known as Diversity and Inclusion Validates Everyone, also known as DIVE. Her goals for this school year include helping to grow the AASA organization, volunteering in the community, and to help make the campus feel more safe and comfortable for all students. Alford said her biggest supporters are her family, especially her mother. Winning Homecoming Queen has already made an impact on her life. To Alford, the role of Homecoming Queen is the face of the university. The strategy for winning was through word of mouth, help with friends, and social media. She walked around campus with flyers and made business cards. In her free time, she likes to sing, listen to music, and shop online, spend time with her friends and family, and play with her dog, Bijou.
Espinoza continues her feature by writing about the king. Andrew Garrett, a senior from Benton, is Tech's 2021 homecoming king. Majoring in political science and music, he is a saxophone section leader for the marching band and a part of the symphonic wind ensemble. Garrett was nominated by Sigma Alpha Iota, even though he is not a member of the International Music Fraternity. He has been actively involved with the music program throughout his time at Tech, filling leadership roles and interacting with several campus organizations. He is also a member of the Pre-Law Society at Tech for the past 2 years and serves as the event coordinator. The role of the Homecoming King is to represent not only the spirit of the student body, but also the ideals of the university. This year, Garrett's goals for school include performing well in classes and scoring well on the law school admittance test. After graduation, he plans on attending Bowen School of Law in Little Rock. Garrett is still humbled that so many students voted for him and is very thankful. His favorite thing about Tech is that it has facilitated meaningful and impactful relationships between students and faculty. In his free time, Garrett likes watching Netflix, playing board games with friends, and spoiling his cat, Cece.
There were many great events that were had last week, thanks to ResLife, SAB, and countless organizations.
I agree. I was glad to see so many people out there showing their tech pride.
Lastly, we have an editorial regarding the importance of school spirit.
Disclaimer: an editorial is an opinion piece written by the co-editors of The Architect and expresses the outlook of the news organization on a topical issue. The roaring of the crowds in Thone Stadium, the green and yellow flashing brightly through the stands as Tech's Wonder Boys flash down the field, ball in hand. The yells from students as the announcer thunders that a touchdown has been rewarded. The Beach Boys once wrote a song titled Be True to Your School, and that title is very much on the mark. We at The Architect recognize the importance of school spirit. Considering homecoming, it is easy to remember how much it means to have school spirit. Daily events were held, prizes were given out, and large tech displays were the norm for last week. It is easy to see that school spirit is high during big weeks like this, but it is equally as important to show school spirit throughout the year. A good example for this is being present for the events that Tech puts on. When students do not attend the events that Tech or its registered student organizations put on, it negatively impacts those involved in the planning and implementing of the event. On the other side, when people come to the events, it creates a warm sense of community in both the event planners and the participants. Take, for instance, the food truck night that Residence Life put on last Tuesday. The massive turnout made Tech look lively. People were sitting and fraternizing with those they had never met before, and eating good food with strangers and friends alike. It forged a link between the student body and organizations. Knowing what is important to the student body is another important facet of school spirit. Sharing your opinion to organizations about what events you're interested in is especially important. If RSOs continue to put on events that no one cares about because no feedback is given, the events will stagnate and people will continue to not come. Telling these organizations what is preferred from the community is the only way to break this cycle. An open line of communication must be built so that more events that people want to see will happen. We at The Architect recognize the importance of school spirit.
Thank you for tuning in to The Architect Introspect on 91.9 KXRJ, the voice of Arkansas Tech. The music of today's broadcast was provided by C418 and is called Stall. You can find more music from C418 on YouTube and Spotify or at c418.org. We hope you enjoyed this broadcast, and we look forward to being back next week to deliver your slice of tech life.